Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also called Jesus in the West, our Messiah. I'm Nicholas. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. We could call it Through the Bible most of the time because that's what we do. We go through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, and I would say this is through the Bible for serious Bible students such as myself. I don't call myself a scholar. I don't have any letters after my name. I did not go to any school of divinity. No, I have not been brainwashed by popular eschatology and churned out of a mill for hirelings. None of that. Not to say that everyone that goes through one of these mills or divinity mills is a hireling. Some of those people are very serious. Some of them start out very seriously, wanting to serve the Almighty. But you become a product of your training. When Yahshua, the Messiah, he took on some pretty hard cases and some cases that were looking for him, such as Philip and Nathaniel, who were eagerly awaiting the knowing the prophecy that the Messiah was to show up. They were waiting for him, and when they found him, they were very excited. And then you have hard cases, people like Matthew, who had turned over and started working for the beast, the Roman government. Yes, the beast in its early days, which was the governing authority over the land of Judea and Israel at the time. And Matthew turned into a hireling. Yes, he would collect taxes for the beast. And of course, anything that he collected over and above what belonged to the government was his fair share to keep for himself. And I've certainly had some rules of percentage or whatever that they were allowed to keep. So there's one hard case. And of course, you have a fisherman, you know, a blue collar worker type. A kind that works on ships or something like that, that was Peter and some of his brethren that quit doing their jobs, and they were, you know, just ordinary working men, you know, the kind you go on a web on a job site and they don't mind stripping down to the waist and using foul language and having curt jokes with one another. That's just how it is. I've been on plenty of construction job sites myself, and I know exactly how it is. I've been there. I've been among them as a believer, and I've been among them as a not so much of a believer, as a very young Christian man, you know, just learning the elemental things of Messiah way back in those days, I should say. And I don't know why I got off on that. Anyway, talking about hard cases like Peter and Matthew. And then there were cases where people were looking for the Messiah. And he showed up right on time, as the prophecy foretold. We're in Ezekiel right now, and we've been going through the book of Ezekiel, and we found out a few things as we were going through it. And yes, I was talking about being a Bible student, and the Messiah had disciples. And those disciples did what they were trained to do. That's why he took them on for 3.5 years, as I've regained my train of thought. The discipleship thought, that's what it is. And you're trained, you fall back on your training, basically. And so I didn't have any of the bad training in a religious way. Well, I can't say that's totally true. I didn't go to seminary, I can say that much, and I didn't have any schooling, and I don't know, schooling is a word I really don't like very much, because if you understand what it means, schooling, like homeschool, is a misnomer, because homeschool, as we understand it, is anything but school. I guess it could be if you follow a strict curriculum that is laid out for a group of homeschoolers. Because the whole idea of schooling is, you know, you take a school of anything, such as a school of fish, and that's the word that's used to describe a school of fish. And if you've ever watched a school of fish, it's very interesting. You can learn a lot, especially about what the word schooling means. Yahshua, he really never schooled anybody, and he didn't open up any schools, but he discipled. And his disciples came, and they lived with him, and they walked with him, and they separated themselves from the world to him for that 3.5 years that he was able to disciple them. And that's what he taught them to do, to disciples others. He says, go and make disciples of all men. See, he taught them by making them his disciples. He separated them from the world. And he said, now you go do likewise. So we are to make disciples. Now the pattern of the world is schooling. You know, you build a little fishbowl building with lots of windows and lots of compartments in the fishbowl. You know, well, like, we should call it a fish tank. Tanks are more square. So you got a fish tank, and you plop it down at the corner of school and whatever street you have. School and Church Street, just to for the use of this illustration. And everybody sends their children to the fish tank, the school, to be schooled. And to be schooled means that they're going to become like all of the other fish. And if you watch a school of fish, you notice they kind of all swim together. If you can imagine wiggling through the water together, they are a school of fish. And here comes the big whale, you know. And he needs tons of fish to, you know, to every week to live. I don't know how many tons. Someone out there knows how many. I don't. It's not important to me. But he needs tons. So he just kind of opens his mouth, and all of the school of fish just swim in, and they get eaten, and they become fodder for the big whale. And that's, or the big fish, I should say, in the fish tank. And so you go to school and you send your children off to school rather than have them discipled. And they go to the school and they swim into the big fish tank on the corner there. And then they go to their room. When the bell rings, they're all to be seated in their position in the school properly. And they sit there. And they listen for an hour or whatever it is that they're in each one of their compartments. And when the bell rings, they get up and they swim to the next compartment. And that's their training. That's their discipleship, if you can call that. Although it's not discipleship, because discipleship from the example of the master would be a one-on-one relationship where you leave the world. You don't, you know, just separate yourself from your family for a little time, but you leave the world behind and you follow the master or whoever, whatever elder he's put over you. And that would be the true discipleship pattern that our Messiah gave to us. So homeschooling is a misnomer. It should be discipleship training. But some people homeschooling because they don't know what else to do, they kind of try to bring the pattern of schooling home, and they just follow that. Where the scripture says to train up a child in the way he should go. Now, that makes it individual. Not in the way everyone should go. Not in the way that you want them to go. Not in the way that the society demands they go. But you train up a child in the way he should go. And that individuality there is very important. And I think that it's no accident that the translators translated it that way, the way they did, because our Heavenly Father wants us to treat everyone as individuals. If you have a child that has a certain bent toward some type of work or talent or something, then you train that child in the way he should go, not in the way you think he should go. Now, certainly, you know, many fathers, if you have many sons, certainly one is going to follow in your footsteps, or two, who knows? And a father enjoys that when one of his sons, if he's a good man, he has a good trade, and his sons are trained in his in his trade and they follow after him in that trade, well, that's a good thing. And especially if he trains them in godliness in that trade. But some children have a different bent. They have a different talent, and you see that they start to lean toward this or that, and they have a talent to do that. So you want to train them in the way they should go, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets older, when he becomes mature, he will not depart from it. Now, that has everything to do with training in godliness, to train up your children in godliness, to reverence the Almighty, that so that when they get older, when they become mature, they will not depart from that training. They will fall back on it. They may depart for a while. You know, they may be tempted by freedom, but if they're trained properly, they will fall back on their training. They will fall in line eventually. I've seen that happen too. So discipleship's very important. And another thing I was thinking about is there was a guy on some Christian website, sermonaudio.com to be exact. I won't name any names because I don't like to bring attention to other people. All I say is if the shoe fits, you know, wear it. It's okay with me. I'm not going to mention any names so nobody can bring any accusations against me. But he was attacking me, you know, because I have prophecy work there and prophecy sermons I'm putting on there to try to alert people to what's going on and what the true hidden design behind the false eschatology of the Counter-Reformation is all about. You know, namely the Vatican and its control over the beast, that as being that head of the beast that was healed and now has sway behind the scenes. Of course, they've learned their lessons from history, but has sway over the all the kings of the earth behind the scenes, and how it's you know, its hand is being exposed here and there. And this guy started attacking me. And he was a Baptist, and I just kind of wondered, why is this guy attacking me so vociferously? And so I went and I looked at some of his sermons, and I saw one there that said something like, confessions are down. That's right. The Catholic Church, it was reporting that confessions were down, and he did a news piece on this and posted it on Sermon Audio, and you know, just looking back in his sermons from the past there, from 2009, and I saw that there, and I thought, that's interesting. This guy's a Baptist, and he's concerned about the confessions being down. So I went and I listened to it, and lo and behold, in the middle of it, he admits that he was finishing up studies at a Catholic university, a Catholic seminary. So he's being trained in Catholicism. And then I go, well, no wonder he's falling back on his training. And then someone came along and they heard me say something like what I'm saying right now in one of my postings without naming names, and he recognized him. And then he said, came to his defense and said, well, he just went to the Catholic seminary so that he could better learn how to minister to Catholics. Ah, okay, so he's defending him, and that's probably his story. Well, I went to, well, of course, that's why Catholic priests go to Catholic seminary, so they can know better how to minister to Catholics. But even if his intention was somehow good, which I find it hard to believe, I mean, you know, you don't go study the counterfeit at their home and sit with those people and smile at them and pretend to be their friends if you're their enemy. That's not the way, you know, our Messiah works or the way he's taught us to work. We study the true, and that way when we see the counterfeit, we know that it's not true because we've become intimate with the truth. So we recognize a lie. That's the Messiah's way. So even if he did that, it was wrong. And now you can see that he was influenced by his discipleship there, because now he's attacking someone who's exposing the truth about the Antichrist church and its head, the Vatican. So he fell back on his training. So he's been corrupted. He should repent. That's what I think. So discipleship is very important. And it's very important to separate yourself from the world for discipleship. That's the pattern that the Messiah gave us. And to find someone who can teach us and as a head over us, as an authority over us even, as Messiah was an authority over his disciples. But of course, any authority that is less than the Almighty himself or the Holy Spirit, we need to check. We need to weigh them in the light of the word of our Heavenly Father. Because if they stray outside, there have been a lot of false elders out there, teachers, pastors, and hypocrites who take people and use them for their own purposes or for gain or for power or for riches. So we always, you know, let every soul be subject to the higher power. And even as disciples under the tutelage of an elder, someone who's studied and more mature in the faith and in the spirit than we are, we still need to hold them up to the scripture and the law of God. And the Heavenly Father gives us that power. And we need to be wary all the time of anyone that's over us in authority or that we're being discipled by, that we check them out and we weigh them in the light of scripture. The Heavenly Father gives us that power to do that because he says, let every soul be subject to the higher power. And that means that every soul or every man, living man, woman, child, is subject to a higher power, a higher authority, the disciple to his master. However, if his master errs, then the disciple moves up to the word of God itself or a higher authority such as he may find. So in spiritual matters, we have a hierarchy of authority ordained by the Almighty himself. And we always move up if we see error. We check someone out by the word of God. Go to another. Say, if you're a disciple and you're being discipled by an elder and you believe that if you believe that elder is in error, then you bring him the word of God and say, I believe that you're in error at this point. And if he is truly a wise man and a man of God, he will not ridicule you or abase you or anything of the kind. He will humbly, just as humbly as you come to him, perhaps go through that and explain his position. If you still think he's wrong, well, you can go to someone else. Go to another one that you believe is on an equal. Or if he won't hear it, you know, if he becomes obstinate or unruly or demeaning, well, then you perhaps have your answer that there's a problem there. So let every soul be subject to the higher power. And that applies into spiritual matters and the spiritual government and discipleship and elders and teachers. It applies there as well as it does in the family government. A wife is to be subject to her husband. Children are to be subject to their parents. If the parent errs, well, for very young children, that's a difficult one. And children can be harmed if their parents err. So parents, you need to be very careful that you are following the Almighty and not erring in his ways, especially with your children, because you can do great spiritual damage. But however, as a child becomes older and sees that their parents are doing something wrong, well, they can talk to their parent about it. If their parent won't hear it, well, then they're to answer to a higher authority. If a husband, and for an instance here, if you have a godly wife who comes to Messiah while she's married to an ungodly man, they were two ungodly people that got married together, and one comes to Messiah, well, she's to obey her husband in everything until her husband requires her to break God's law. Then she is to answer to a higher authority. For an extreme example, if a husband wants his wife to go out and prostitute herself, well, then the wife has to refuse. And if he forces her, then she has to flee at the first opportunity she has. And she would flee to the church. That's right. So there's an example of the hierarchy of family government and what to do if there's an unlawful authority happening in the government, in that family government, where one would have to flee. Even children You know, like I said, it gets difficult when you have children. So if you love your wife, you love your children, you love your family, keep his commandments and avoid all of those problems that come with that. But that has everything to do with discipleship and training children. And we always tend to fall back on our training. That's why it's so important when the scripture says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. That applies to bad training too, unfortunately. And some children, when they get up, they get old, they become mature, and they hear the gospel and they hear the truth, and they start receiving new training, having their mind renewed. Perhaps they can break the chains of their training, but it is very difficult. There is much to be unlearned, and many, many falls and stumblings that come with being retrained as a mature adult when you receive bad training as a child under the tutelage of your parents and even the world schooling system. We're going to jump back into Ezekiel, and we're at chapter 45. Do a quick recap. Just had a little time. I know we'll finish Ezekiel today, so we'll jump back in here. A recap, judgment comes on Israel. Ezekiel taken captive when the Babylonians first came in. He foretells the destruction and the siege that's coming into Jerusalem, the judgment of the Almighty, wielding Babylon, the armies of Babylon and the king of Babylon as his sword and judgment. Then the Heavenly Father turns and he judges all of the nations around Israel. After he judges Israel, judgment begins at the house of Yahuwah. Then he judged those nations around. Then finally, he judges Babylon itself. And now he's giving instructions. That's where we're at the end. He's giving instructions for the temple service. We find that there's a few changes. Now we have the king going into the temple through a gate, the king taking part in the temple, priest temple sacrifice service. He has his place, whereas before when the Heavenly Father gave the priest temple sacrifice system to the children of Israel in the desert, there was no king. It was a different government then. It was a different nation. So that's one of the change. And he's giving them now instructions for when he's going to give them the land back, because they're well into the 70 years desolation. We'll be back in a few minutes and we'll jump right in. You're listening to Cross the Border.